Good morning, sisters and brothers in Christ. The morning scripture will be coming from Hebrews, the 8th chapter, 12th verse. That's Hebrews, the 8th chapter, 12th verse. And the word of God reads, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." May the Lord have the blessing to the reading and hear his word.
Good morning. You know, a heavy price tag came with our forgiveness. It costs a lot. You know, we talk about being forgiven of all our sins, but it costs a great deal for us to be forgiven of all our sins. Amen. The word forgiveness is the Greek word aiphes. And that word means freedom. Figuratively, it means pardon, deliverance, liberty, remission. It literally means spiritual liberation, deliverance and freedom from the bondage of sin. We were in bondage. We were in an awful state, a bad situation, a situation that you and I could not correct for ourselves. We had sinned against God as man did in the very beginning, and man had been sinning ever since. And God wanted to forgive us. He wanted to liberate us. He wanted to set us free. He didn't want us to be under the bondage of sin any longer. God had a plan whereby he would make that come to fruition through his son, Jesus Christ. This emancipation is enjoyed only because of the tremendous cost Jesus paid at the cross. The Hebrew writer made it clear that without the shedding of blood, there could have been no remission. Hebrews 9:22. He says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. But without the shedding of blood, he says, there is no remission. In fact, Jesus wanted to forgive. When he talked to his disciples as he was instituting the Lord's Supper, in Matthew 26 and verse number 28, he said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the sins of many." And you consider what John wrote when he saw Jesus coming in John 1:29. The Bible says the next day John seeth Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The very mission of Jesus was to come and to forgive man for their sins, to liberate man and to set him free from that bondage. That's why he came, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. He knew that we were lost and we had no way to rectify our situation. And so Jesus came, and he came so that man might find forgiveness. That way he can be reconciled unto God. But he came to forgive sin. He came to forgive every kind of sin, no matter what it was, no matter how bad it was, no matter how many. He came to forgive sin, period. That's why Jesus came. And it takes self-righteous individuals who are not righteous at all to try to forgive sins based on what kind, based on how many. But thank God that Jesus was perfect in his forgiveness and would forgive all sin, every kind of sin. If we had to take a list of the sins that we have committed in this room today, what would yours say? What's the worst thing you've ever done? What are the worst thoughts you ever had? And would you want anyone to know them? And I'm sure that though we might find some similarities in some of the sins that we have committed, yet we would not want those to be open. And also, my friends, how many and how awful may some of those sins have been? I've heard of people saying that they wish their mom and daddy could get killed and hit by trucks and things of that nature. That's an awful thing to say, but I've heard people say it. People have wished death on other people because of the way they felt. People have said some awful things out of their mouths to hurt people, even causing some people to commit suicide because of bullying and some of the things that people will say and some of the things people do. People have hurt people so bad that it's very difficult for that person to come back. They go into depression because of what some folks have done to them. People need medication because of what some people do. Let me tell you something, my friends. What have you done? And thank God that he came to forgive sin and that he did not categorize your sin. And he didn't expose it to everyone. He simply came to set you free from where those sins would have carried you if Jesus didn't come. Consider Peter's questions in Matthew 18 in verse number 21 and 22. And Peter would say to Jesus, Lord, how oft should I forgive one when he sins against me? Should I forgive him seven times? The rabbinical rule said that you do not forgive an individual more than three times. And you know, judging by the state of the world today and the state of mindsets that exist in this world, there are some folks that are still governed by those rules. So the rabbi said, you don't forgive someone more than three times. Now, you sin against me once, you sin against me twice, shame on you and shame on me. But you don't get a chance to do it a third time because three strikes and you're out. Now, for some of us, a person can't even get to three. But Peter, realizing that the Lord was not going to give the same reason as the rabbis, but that the Lord would be obviously more generous, Peter then sought to be generous to the Lord and says, Lord, till seven times. The rabbi said three. Peter said seven, showing that he is really generous, but he had no idea who he was talking to. And the Lord must have stunned Peter when he said 70 times seven. Now, how in the world do you allow somebody to sin against you 70 times seven? What's the math on that, 449 or something like that? How in the world do you allow somebody to sin against you 449 times? Now, it's going to be very difficult when I can't get past two. The same person doing something to me two or three times, and I got to put a stop to that. Well, my friends, this morning, let's talk about some reasons we must forgive. A few reasons why we must forgive. First of all, you must forgive to be like God. If you will truly learn to forgive like God, then there are a few things that you ought to consider. First of all, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12. And then listen carefully. If you're going to be like God in your forgiveness, there's a couple of things you need to recognize, you need to understand, and you need to apply it to your life today. In other words, when you leave out of here a different person. Because you came in here with some problems with some people. You came in here with some ongoing conflict going on between you and somebody else. There's somebody out there you're not talking to. There's somebody out there you're not dealing with. There's somebody out there you messed up with. There's somebody out there that used to be a friend. There's somebody out there that did you wrong. There's somebody out there that owe you something. One way or another, you can leave here different this morning. You came in one way, but I'm asking you to leave out of here another way. Let's be like God this morning. How about that? So the first key is to understand this is this. I'm going to be like God. Therefore, when I forgive, I do not need to confuse my feelings with my will. If I'm going to forgive, don't confuse your feelings with your will. They're two different compartments. Look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12, and let's consider God first.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness.
Now, I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness. Now, this is based on the cross of Jesus Christ with the better promises of the new covenant. God's forgiveness is not going to be based on some emotional response as to how he feels today. And thank God that that is the case. Because we know that the Bible declares that God is angry with the wicked, Psalm 46, every day. He is angry with the wicked every day. And the Bible literally means when he is angry, that means he is enraged. He foams at the mouth, if you will. Now, this is using language understanding that's human in characteristic, so we can understand and appreciate God because we understand and know ourselves. And so God, the Bible says, foams, if you will, at the mouth. He is absolutely outraged and enraged at the wicked every day. But thanks be to God that he does not forgive us based on some emotional response. Nor should you. I'm going to last time you felt like forgiving someone who did you wrong. But the point is, when you enter into a covenant with God, he blots everything out. He blots out all of your sins. He casts all your sins behind his back. And since it's behind his back, he's not turning around looking at it anymore. He throws it away. He puts it into the depths of the sea. You cannot, my friends, and you must not allow yourselves to be controlled by your feelings. Your decision to forgive cannot be based on your feelings. There will be times when you do not feel like forgiving or extending forgiveness, if you will. Your feelings will have you doing some unnecessary thing. Your feelings will have you coming up with some stuff that God never told you to come up with. See, your feelings will have you, you know, put people in a situation where you say things like, you know, I forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Where did that come from? You see, it's amazing what you do with your feelings. I'm so hurt in my feelings for what you've done. I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. Who told you to do that? When you get a chance, show it to me. You see, that didn't come from God. That came from us in our feelings. I'll forgive you, but from now on, I'm going to feed you with a long-handled spoon. Where'd that come from? That didn't come from God. I'll forgive you, but I'll tell you what my feelings want to do. My feelings want to forgive you, but I don't want anything else to do with you. Where'd that come from? You see, I knew this was going to be a quiet sermon. I knew this was going to be a quiet sermon because this is where we all live, don't we? This is where we all live. We have to overcome our feelings. And I showed you in the biblical faith and the biblical heart that in the heart, the intellect leads. It receives information. The intellect leads. And then the will follows the intellect and agrees with it so that it can respond. And then the emotions come. My friends, if you're led by your emotions, you're going to be messed up for the rest of your life. And let me tell you something. When you emotional and become irrational, tell me when has that ever worked the righteousness of God? Tell me when that ever has led you in a good way. People are usually not happy with you when you're in such a bad mood. And you usually are probably not the kind of person everybody wants to be around when you're in a terrible mood. Your feelings cannot lead, they must follow. And what we do with our forgiveness is we enact the will to respond to God and what God requires, and then my feelings will come along. You know, how often have you could have killed a relationship, a friendship you've been having for a long time, you could have killed that friendship because of your unwillingness to forgive and let something go. And then you and that person never speak or have anything to do with each other again. Okay, you go ahead, and every time you think about it, you remember it, you know what, it's a problem, but you know what, you done left that person, don't have anything to do with them. But just think about it. When you have saved the relationship, when you have forgiven, and you and that person are back, and that thing is old news and old hat, you've gone on to do some great things together in your friendship, which is better? Which way would God have us do it? We often tell people sometimes, don't trust your feelings. We tell people that in religion. We tell people that in salvation. You can't trust your feelings, but I just feel like God saved me. What you mean you feel like God saved you? Did you do what God said in order for him to save you? You don't trust your feelings on something like that. Well, I just feel like it shouldn't matter when you do this. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, if the Bible says it, then why don't you follow the Bible rather than your feelings? We tell people your feelings are not a safe guide. Your conscience is not a safe guide. The Word of God ought to control our feelings and our conscience. And if we train by the Word of God, we got an objective standard because those feelings are subjective. And they can mislead you sometimes. Well, I just felt like you weren't speaking because you had a problem with me from, you know, remember back 2 years ago, and I just felt like you were still, we're talking like that. But that's the kind of conversation we have with our feelings. And then come to find out that what you thought about the person was wholly incorrect. Like, no. Oh, so you got a problem there. I see you not speaking. I'm sorry, I didn't even see you. Oh, okay, I thought you looked right at me. I was about to have an attitude. Because you not speaking, And then you go over there and tell somebody else, you know, she don't speak, he don't speak, all this kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff we do with our feelings. Brothers and sisters, it's time to grow up, isn't it? It's time to be like God when it comes to our forgiveness. Now, you can be like God if you don't trust your feelings and you follow the will. And you can be like God, my friends, when you don't live in the past. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, and let's look at verse 12 again. For I will be merciful.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness.
Uh-huh.
And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
And their sins and their iniquities. Look how God forgives. And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. I will be merciful. I will be gracious. Their unrighteousness, their injustice, their wrongfulness of character. The injustices that they have done to man, the injustices that they do sometimes to themselves, to others, and to God. I will be merciful to the things that they do in life, even as a matter of their character. I will be merciful to their sins, their offenses. I will be merciful even to their iniquities, to their lawlessness, their violation of God's law. And he says, I will remember. That means a fixture in the mind. God says, I will remember, I will recollect, or by implication to reward or punish, to be mindful of. He says, I could remember this. I could be mindful of it. I could punish you for what you've done. But he says, I'm going to remember it no more. In other words, my friends, listen carefully for those of you who want to be like God in your forgiveness. He does not keep a record of sins that has been forgiven. He will not recall them in order to punish you in the future for something you did in the past that he has forgiven. Complete forgiveness. Do not allow yourself to be a prisoner of the past. Paul spoke in terms of this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13 when he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. It is impossible, my friends, to look in both directions at the same time. Now, if I'm looking forward at you, I cannot be looking back at the same time. However, if I turn and look back, I cannot be looking forward at the same time. It's impossible. So if you're going to look forward, if you're going to go forward having forgiven a person, don't look back at what they did. Don't bring it up. Jesus expressed this even in terms of entering his kingdom. Luke 9:62, he said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, when you come to him, if you're going forward with me, my friends, don't look back to what you think you lost. Don't look back to what you think you left. Don't look back with joy on those things that are behind you. Look forward and go forward in my will. The idea of forgiveness is releasing a debt. And you cannot do that if you keep bringing it up. Let me ask you a question. Please do not raise your hand. It is rhetorical. Just think about it. Have someone ever did something to you that hurt you pretty bad? Time went by, and y'all had to have this conversation again because you brought it back up. A year may have gone by, and you brought it up again. Couple years may have gone by and something triggered you. You brought it up again. And now, guess what? You find yourself in a heated argument all over again with something that was supposedly forgiven. Is that what God wants us to do? Could you imagine if God recalled everything that he did and he chose to remember that sin you committed 3 or 4 years ago? And what if God said to us, think about it, if he's saying this to you. He said, you know, I was thinking. And it just dawned on me what you really did 3 years ago. You remember when you did this, that, and the other? And then imagine seeing God start to get angry all over again. I don't know what form of punishment coming this time. But just imagine if he recalled our sins at any given time and then allowed himself to become angry all over again. Isn't that the kind of stuff we do? We recall something that someone did, and all of a sudden we are engulfed in a conversation and in an argument all over again based on something that happened 3-4 years ago, and I thought you had forgiven me. That's what one person says, I thought you forgave me. And then the person says, I thought I did too, but apparently I didn't, and I just can't get past it. By your laughter, that means that we can appreciate this and that we know this very well. Not necessarily because you've done it, but because you know people who have if you haven't. These are real conversations that take place because people can't forgive like God. But let me share something with you that maybe you didn't think about, and maybe you know it though. Y'all believe you know it, even if you're not thinking about it. Forgiveness will cost you. That's the thing about forgiveness, is it ends up costing you. It cost you to forgive. Did it not cost Christ to forgive us? You see, I'm the one that must make the payment when I choose to forgive, and it must be the very reason why we don't like to forgive. And if you don't understand that, consider it in the life of Christ. We were the ones in need of forgiveness, and yet Christ was the one who had to make the payment. In order for us to receive the forgiveness, he had to make the payment. In order for us to be alive, he had to die. In order for us to be with God, he had to leave heaven. He had to leave the Father. In order for God to put us back on in friendly terms with him, called reconciliation, Jesus had to suffer a horrifying death. Matthew 20:28, Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He had to pay the ultimate cost for our forgiveness. And the person who does the forgiving is the one who pays the price for it. And my friends, that's something you need to appreciate. It may cost you a river of tears due to the heartache someone has brought on you. Have you ever shed tears because of what someone else did to you? It'll cost you. That's a lot of hurt and a lot of anguish. Sometimes very difficult to get over. Person who did it goes home and sleeps well. You can't sleep. You're robbed of your sleep. The person who did it, you done forgave them. They done went on and they doing what they do. And you over here stewing about it. Trying to pick yourself up from it. You see, it's costing you to forgive. You're the one who has to live with it, even though it's very difficult. You're the one who must get over it and get past it. To forgive costs you. And it also costs you not to forgive. Because it's one thing to get over it and get past it. But you can't get over it and get past it if it's in you. And forgiving will get it out of you. You want to be forgiving. You must be forgiving. You need to forgive like God. It helps, my friend, to understand when it comes to forgiveness, we need to forgive because we want to be forgiven by God. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and notice verse number 12 as Jesus taught the model prayer to his disciples, which included asking to be forgiven. Come on, read. Our sins are our debts. We become debtors as we commit sins that is a violation to God's will and his law. And without my friend payment for a violated law, punishment is required. They understood that under the old law, didn't they? That law was a law of condemnation. It would condemn you. It was intended to condemn you. And once you violated that law, it said we need to punish. Condemnation was the order of the day. Paul was saying in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, gift of life is life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the wages of sin leads to death. Jesus taught that men ought to ask for forgiveness of debts, that the obligation to punishment may be canceled and vacated so that we do not come into condemnation. as we forgive, he says, our debtors. Is that what he said, Brother Craig? Read it again.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
What is it that God will not forgive? Can anyone tell me a sin that God will not forgive? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Then we'll have to talk about that. Because that's a sin that can't be committed today. So we don't have to worry about that. And if you go back to the context, when they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, Jesus drops down in that context and says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make it corrupt. They still had a chance. They still had a chance. As we forgive our debtors, is there any sin that God will not forgive? My friend, the answer is no. What is it that God will not forgive? My friends, let's ask the question, what is it that you will not forgive? Is it when folks owe me money? Is it when folks take advantage of me? Is it when folks ruin your reputation? Is it when folks stab you in the back? Remember the song Backstabbers? Them boys was writing about something they knew, didn't they? They experienced that, right? You remember the song Smiling Faces? People will smile in your face, but will be talking and stabbing you in your back. Is that the sin? But my friend, these are the very occasions we can't afford to miss. Because sometimes people don't just offend you in your feelings, they offend you in your wallet. Now, you want to get next to a person, offend them in their wallet. I can get over my feelings. It's hard for me to get over my money. But that's the occasion. See, look what Peter, go to Matthew chapter 18. Go to Matthew chapter 18 with me. Peter asked Christ about forgiveness again and how often it should be extended. But one should pay attention to the story illustrated by Christ in response to Peter's question. Read, Brother Craig, read it verse 21 beginning.
Till 7 times, Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7.
Come on.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents.
Wait a minute. Did you notice that Jesus went straight to money? You see, that's an occasion to forgive. And sometimes that hits us right where we live. See, sometimes it's just not about your hurt feelings. That might become easy in comparison to some of our things. It's hard for me to forgive when you done took advantage of me and it's costing me financially. One man couldn't pay his insurmountable financial debt, and the king forgave him. The same man went and found someone who comparatively owed him a small amount, and then he dealt very harshly with that individual. Once the king found out that he had forgiven this man, and this man did not forgive him, the king was very upset about it. Read what he says in verse 33 through 35.
And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass.
Brothers and sisters, the point of this life is to get to heaven. And in order to do that, we're trying to be like God, who has forgiven us insurmountable debt that you and I could not repay. There was no way for us to make that right. And along the line, there are going to be people who are going to take advantage of us and going to do us wrong, going to defraud us and all those kind of things. And God has spoken to this because he knew it was going to happen. You see, we're called to live by higher principles of right, righteousness, if you will. Those principles that come from God, those principles that come from Christ. He was actually taking him out of people, a special people in this world, all those who would come to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and come into that covenant relationship with him would have to live and be governed by principles of righteousness, living above the world in righteousness, showing the world what it looks like, which means, my friends, that we're going to suffer because the world is going to take advantage of our principles of righteousness. And some people are not going to be fair. Some people are going to take advantage of you because you're righteous. As a result of that, God is saying, I will vindicate. I'll take care of them. You just take care of me, my business. Show them me. Show them how I would respond. Show them what I did for you. And they owe you, in comparison, a very small amount to what you are indebted to me. And yet I have vacated all your debt. And don't you dare hold that over someone when they cannot repay, or they cannot perform, or they cannot give, or they cannot, my friends, sometimes make it right. You be me. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this is about going to the law, so let's just get the context in the very first couple of verses. Sometimes people won't forgive. This stuff ends up in court. Read.
Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
So sometimes, my friends, rather than going to law over some of these things, when people are messing with our things and our money, we can handle it privately. Go to the brethren, go to the church, go to your elders, and let's talk about it. Let's see if we can get a resolution to the situation. And if there is no resolution because the person will not respond correctly, go down to verse number 7.
Now, therefore, there's utterly a fault among you. Come on. Because you go to law with one another.
Come on, read.
Why do you not rather take wrong?
That's what he said. Why do you not rather take wrong? And look at the next one.
Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
Why do you not suffer yourselves to be
defrauded?
Why can't we take the wrong? You ever been in a situation where someone took advantage of you, you say, you know what, I'm just going to have to count that loss. If you haven't, I have, and I got a lot of stories for you. Come see me. Come see me if you want to know. I'll share a few of them with you. Sometimes you got to suffer the wrong. Sometimes I call it take it on the chin. Sometimes I say, you know what, I got to count that loss. Sometimes I will give you something knowing it's lost. Not even going to ask for it back. If you give it back, great. If you don't, you don't. Because some people are going to take advantage of it. Now, let me show you what happens, because Paul wasn't finished. Look at verse number 9 and notice this. Because what we do is sometimes you have to leave things to God. You have to leave it in his hands and let him take care of it. Now, here's for the people who would defraud you. Here's for the people who would take advantage of you and take advantage of the fact that you got to live by higher principles of righteousness, and you got to be like God and you're forgiving and suffer and suffer the wrong and allow yourself to be defrauded. Absolutely, we do. But look at verse number 9.
Know ye not
that the unrighteous
shall not inherit,
because that's what they are. They are unrighteous. And they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes through a list of those who he has in this category, and anyone like these. But drop down to verse number 11.
And such were some of you.
You see, at one point in our lives, we were guilty of certain things. They have not been this, but it was other things, and we were guilty before God.
Amen.
And now people are guilty of some of these things towards you. God forgave us and blotted it all out. And then he tells us, you were like this at one point in time. You did things that are wrong. I forgave you. And he's saying, you suffer then the wrong. You allow yourselves to be defrauded. The point is this. Paul is saying that we ought to allow ourselves to suffer because the cause of Christ might take a negative hit if we don't. Now, if we run to the magistrates out here And we fight in the law and all those kind of stuff. Obviously, people hear about it. It's in the paper. Maybe it's on the news. Or those people who are there in the courtrooms hear about it. You got the Church of Christ people? And they all up in here like that? I don't want no part of that. The church might take a hit. The Lord's cause might take a hit because we all over there in litigation against one another. But then sometimes, my friends, when we don't handle this stuff privately, someone might be caused to stumble. Sometimes when we won't forgive, someone might stumble. And they might, my friends, as a result of that, lose their souls, quit, give up because of our lack of compassion. We have to be careful. God has forgiven and will continue to forgive as we forgive others. Go back to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 14 and verse number 15. I'm almost there, y'all.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
The word trespass there is the Greek word paratoma. It's different. He says, forgive us our debts in verse 6 and 12, chapter 6, 12. He said, forgive us our debts. But then he says, if you forgive men not their trespasses. Now, debts is different from trespass, so the Lord changed the words. And that's because one is worse than the other. So when he says trespass, paratoma, that word means a side slip. You know, they've fallen off, if you will. They've slipped off the duties that they owe us. That's what people do. Sometimes, my friends, I have slipped up and did not perform the duties that I know I owed you. How many times have someone said, I'm going to do something, and then they don't do it? Now, sometimes that's intentional, sometimes that's unintentional, but nevertheless, they slipped. Now, is it possible for all of us, rather, to slip? So sometimes do something or say something with the greatest intentions and then can't perform it. Amen. Or sometimes say something and then, even though I might have had good intentions when I said it to you, but later on I think about it and say, I ain't doing that. Are we capable?
Amen.
Amen. All men. It's possible. So he's saying, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, their side slips when they owe you and do some things towards you and didn't fulfill their obligations, responsibilities, he says, neither will your Father forgive you. But he said, forgive us our debts. Now, those debts are something that is going against the justice of God that cannot be paid for by man. We can't make it up. We cannot respond in any way to get us out of that debt. We are under that, and that's it. God has to actually vacate it. He has to let it go. He has to forgive it. He has to wash it away, if you will, throw it away in order for us to be right with him. And so no wonder Jesus says, if you don't forgive men, your heavenly Father is not going to give you. We have to forgive to be pleasing to God. This won't take me long to say a couple of things, and the sermon is yours. God loves mercy. God loves mercy. Therefore, he pronounces those who show mercy to be blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's why we're blessed, because we're going to obtain mercy. He pronounces judgment on those who will show no mercy, James 2 and verse number 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that show no mercy, and mercy and justice, or rather mercy, rejoiceth against judgment. Our aim should be to please God. Paul understood this, Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. He said, for do I now persuade God or men? Or do I yet seek to please men? For if I yet seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Give me 1 John 3:22, and I'm going to finish. I'm going to end right here.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Say that again.
And whatsoever we ask,
we
receive of him,
because
we keep his commandments.
Because we keep his commandment. We make the decision of the will to keep his commandments, which consequently is how we end up forgiving. Not on our emotions. Because you hurt me so bad, I don't want to forgive you. But I'm obligated to forgive you because I want to be like my Father, which is in heaven. And according to his will, I have to forgive as he has forgiven. And so therefore, as that compartment of the will is enacted, I then must obey God. I am keeping his will. I am manifesting my will to surrender to his will so that I forgive you for your sins and for your infractions and for your trespasses against me. Read it.
And we keep his, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing
and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He sent his son to die for us, and he was pleased with the sacrifice. Jesus said, I do always those things which please him. Jesus was concerned about pleasing his Father. You and I ought to be concerned about pleasing our Father. And when one of these people that look like you, that's got the same blood running through their veins as you, that's made of the same stuff you're made of, who know sin so well just like you. None of us came here, none of us here are sinless. None of us here are sinlessly perfect. Jesus had to die for every single one of us. And if Jesus doesn't die for us in order for us to be forgiven, none of us could meet God face in peace. And as a result of that, since we are all sinful creatures, when a sinful creature sins against me, a sinful creature, who I know I have sinned against other sinful creatures, then I must be willing to forgive that sinful creature because the God in heaven who knows no sin is not going to forgive me if I don't. So you take your little self out of here today. You go call up whoever you got a problem with. Whoever you are constantly allowing something to brew between you and to continue, and you clean up your side of it. You clean up your side. You say, I forgive you. I know we haven't talked in 3 years, but I forgive you for what happened. Don't want this to continue between us anymore, any longer. I forgive you what you did to me. I forgive you what you said to me. I forgive you what you owe me, whatever the case may be. You forgive, because when you stop, God stops. That's not an acknowledgement that you didn't get done wrong. I know he did you wrong. I know she did you wrong. I know they did you wrong. But isn't it something how God uncovered all of it? Paul says, I know you were wrong, but suffer it, so Christ's cause don't have to. I know you were wrong, but suffer it so that God will forgive you. I know you were wrong, but suffer it because God is going to vindicate you. He's going to get those people who continue to live that way and take advantage of his people and do wrong because they know you are governed by principles right. If you're here this morning, you might be in sin this morning, but there is forgiveness. Forgiveness came in the form of Jesus Christ, who left heaven so that you can be forgiven. He left heaven to forgive you. He died on that terrible cross and that horrific death so that you could be forgiven. And all he asks is that you respond to him in faith. Do you believe in him to be the Son of God? Will you repent of your sins and send him to that awful cross? Will you confess him with the mouth unto salvation that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And will you submit to baptism so we can wash away your sins so God can operate on you? So that you can die to the love and the practice of sin, be buried with Christ in his death where he shed his blood, and rise out of that water to walk in the newness of life, forgiven of all your sins. Go home today, get down on your knees, and pray as one who is forgiven of everything and every sin you ever committed. Now, if you can get a deal like that anywhere else, you're welcome to it. But it only happens in Christ Jesus. Amen. And all you have to do is have the courage to get out of that seat and come forward and say, I want to surrender my life to Christ in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you will have forgiveness of your sins. It'll make it a whole lot easier when you realize all the sins you committed, how you can forgive someone else. If you need to respond to this invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Careless soul,